Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
And here he is. I want to say rock star. Cause like, but not like, like rock star as in like, you know, heavy hardcore death metal as the genre of music. Certainly as someone that I think is just incredibly well respected.
Thank you.
And you've built an incredible brand.
Thank you very much.
I'm
actually loving to be called a rock star. feel nice and young like that. So yes, bring it on. I'm a rock star.
Yeah, no, you totally are. Whatever, Joe. Don't act like you're old coming in here with your Adidas tracksuit and situation and looks like it's off the latest column of the Adidas online store. No, like you're swagging it up. I'm looking at the watch. It's the whole situation. No, you really, really are.
Thank you. Thank you.
What do you think it is the best way to go about introducing Joe Nina? If you had to speak about yourself in third person.
Well, I can only speak about myself in the real world since I'm here. Well, my real name is Makosini. Xaba is the surname. I was born in a family of musicians. My father had his own band. My mother was a backing vocalist in the band. And they started traveling with me at the age of 4.
Huh.
And I started music at the age of 8, 9, 10. By the age of 12, I was already playing the drums professionally and learning the piano at the same time. By the age of 13, 14, I was already programming and playing the piano. At the age of 14, at the same time, I released my first album, which was an LP at the time.
Yeah.
And, ever since then, I'm still in this industry, 27 years later.
I mean, when you're like 8 years old and doing it, you actually don't know anything else. So I can't even say to you, like, when did you figure out music was the thing? Because for you, it's been your life for the longest time.
Absolutely. I was born, like I said, I was born in the musical family.
Yeah.
When I was still at school, I seriously was hoping to be a doctor. You know, I believe I was doing my best when it comes to mathematics and physics.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But by releasing that LP at the age of 14, that distracted me.
Mm.
And it actually made me realize that this is all I want to do. I want to just do nothing but music, which is what I'm doing to date.
Now, there are a bajillion kids that are 8 years old that are super into music, and then they go on and they become other things.
Sure.
What was different about your journey as a kid with music that enabled you to turn it into what your 9-to-5, in inverted commas, would essentially be? Because we're living in a day and age where everybody wants to be a musician. There's
everyone,
no
they
shortage.
Wake up, they go, gotta do this for me. You gotta do
it. I mean, it's the most popular profession that
Absolutely.
You are in. So
yeah.
What is it that that you did that turned it from sort of a thing you do into a profession?
I think it's the way I was introduced into the industry itself. My father had friends because they were recording at the time. Their group was called The Shaming. So the friends were taking me through different recording studios for a record deal. I remember there was a, I don't know if they still exist, a company called Eric Frisch. Peter Sneyman, all those guys at the time, they somehow knew my father. So I got a deal like that. And, I think what kept me going and actually making a career out of it was the fact that I'm doing sound engineering as well, and programming for different people, sometimes for different companies, different kinds of vibes like jingles and all of that. Until I got to do music scoring for some dramas here in the country. Till they picked it up in the UK, which is Les Blair, who actually asked me to do a scoring of a movie called Jump the Gun, which I was supposed to just do the music originally. But he then later liked my character and he said, I must act. Now, that's one thing that I know for sure I cannot do. I will never wake up any day at any morning and say I'm an actor. I tried. You should see me on the movie. I look like I'm running away from the camera.
Well, it's funny because when you Google you, the first thing that comes up on the right is joining and then it describes you as a film actor, which I thought was pretty interesting when I was when I saw it.
Yeah, which is, you know, the actually interesting part of it is that every singer now, every artist becomes an actor, which I'm not interested in.
You were doing it longer, yeah.
No, I'm interested in perfecting my craft, working hard on my craft, and eventually making loads and loads of money out of my craft, which means I'm going to be able to help the others that are actually into it for the love of it, because a lot of them are into it just for the fame and for the bling blings and just to get known and get a lot of followers on what social media.
Yeah, it definitely has changed. I mean, it's refreshing to even sit with someone who's in the musical space that speaks about it as a craft.
Sure.
Because a lot of people don't. They speak about it as an aspect of lifestyle.
Absolutely.
What kind of artist are you in a studio environment versus in a live environment? I mean, what's it like to be, and I haven't, to be in the studio with Joe? Are you, like, specific about the lighting? Are you specific about, like, people having, you know, their phone, like, whatever it is, what is the experience of working with you like? Are you meticulous on the beat? Do you take over from the sound guy? Is it difficult to work with you, but in a good way?
I've worked with a lot of people. I think most of them, they will confirm that I'm a very easygoing person.
Really? Okay.
More than anything, I think it's because of my personality. I'm a very humble human being. I'm very cool like that. I take things easy. Screaming takes a lot of energy, and when you do something that upsets me, it will kill the mood, and before you know it, it will be, let's cancel the session.
Yeah.
And that's money going down the drain like that. What I need in the studio is commitment. I need if I'm going to have a sound engineer, we're going to do this together until it sounds the way we both can hear that it is, what I'm hearing as well. Not someone that is going to say at 5 o'clock, I got to go. Why? No, I got to get home. But we have booked you for a session here. You know, should have told us that you're not going to do it for the open end, for instance. But also, 90% of the time, I do my own production.
Yeah.
I go into the studio on my own. I produce one song for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days. Put it on a CD. Go listen to it, different speakers and like different kind of ways of with different people.
Yeah.
But every time I listen to a song with you, I'm actually looking at you and I can see a reaction at some point, and I know, okay, that I must actually make it a little bit higher because that is what is going to grab. But I think spending most of the time alone is the reason why they calling me the night rider, because then I hardly sleep, then my body gets used to it. And but in a nutshell, to answer your question, I think it's very simple to work with me. It's just that you gotta be committed, and you gotta love what we do, because I believe that that's how you're gonna sustain it. Because if you're just doing it for the fun of it and for the fame of it, you're gonna be there for a year or two and you're gone.
Yeah.
And if that's what you want, okay with you. But for me, I want it for lifetime, because I wanna be a good example for those who are up and coming.
It's awesome. Now, obviously, there's a new album. We're going to speak about it in a second. But take me through the studio process. We're going to play the song now, Ngitolile.
Ngitolile, yes.
And tell me about this experience. Was this like, how many days was this? What was it like? What was the studio vibe like?
Look, I haven't been releasing for some time.
Yeah.
I've been producing. I've been learning different things. Like, I actually have my first hip hop song that I produced about 2 weeks ago. I haven't released it yet, but like, I'm learning this beat, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I can do this easy. I can chain 10 of these in within a week, like easy, like that. But I've learned. I've got one song with this young boy. For now, we're calling him Easter, but we're still working for the actual name for the artist, and he's featuring me on the vocals because I sing.
Yeah.
I rapped in my days. Now I cannot see myself rapping, but. I think more than anything, this was a journey for me. I worked with a whole lot of artists, and most of them to date are late. You know, for those who are left and still alive, they are old, and some of them are sick, and some of them, as sick as they are, they're not well taken care of, because it was that situation where you old now, the record companies have like they cannot take care of you because you've done your last album, what, 15, 16 years or 18 years, 30 years ago. So you're not doing anything for the company, actually. So doing this album was that journey. You know, one of the people on the song that is opening the actual first track, it's a song with the late Ray Peary, if you remember him, Ray Peary from Stimula.
Yeah.
He was my partner. He's actually the one who called me Killer Joe when it comes to production. And the late Nana Coyote, also from Stimela. the legendary today, who's still alive, but that one is doing very well. His name is Steve Kekana. He's even an attorney now, you know, like, my name is Advocate Kekana on his voicemail. Like, what? What do you say, Bruh Steve? I'm Advocate Kekana. I'm like, well, now I must address you as Advocate Kekana.
He's changed it up, yeah.
Yeah. That's his voicemail there. But I've got a duet with him. And at the same time, I am off development. So I've introduced a young, fresh talent, you know, like a lady called Nkosazana, beautiful angelic voice. Gaugelo, all the way from Putadi Chaba, or you name it. It's very, very far. I always ask her, the name just doesn't sit with me because it's very far. I actually haven't been to a place, which is very bad. Anyway, what happened here is I mixed the young and the old. And the reason I called it Time to Time, it's the journey that I went through in my life with all the other artists.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when I produced Brenda Fassie, at the time when I worked with Prahu Masikela and Miriam Makeba, including Mama Sibongile Khumalo, at the time when I was working with Prah Victor Ntoni, at the time when I was working with Prah Winston Mankunku. So it was all that in my mind, you know, what can I do with my music? Because I pioneered Kwaito, just so you know. From the times of bubblegum music, I then came. It came into the mid tempos, the times of do it. If you remember those vibes,
yeah.
So that vibe was coming in heavy from overseas, and what I did was take the mid tempo grooves and mix it with the ghetto lingo, but with my original beat. And I did the first song called Boss of the Road, and it was a smash. It was playing on all the taxis you can think of at the time. It was around 1990-91. And then 1992-93, it was my third album that I did, and I did a song called Ding Dong.
Huge. We're going to play it in a second.
Yes,
yeah.
And it was a smash. Before I know it, there was a whole lot of artists doing music the same, and then it was called Kwaito. Originally, I didn't know.
Do you think this hip-hop thing is like you can pick it up in 3 seconds?
I didn't know what I did there. And the reason why I couldn't stay in there is because then every artist started chopping the other, and the music started sounding monotonous. And I don't like monotony. It is boring for me. It's boring for my ears. It kills my creative, my creative juice, that is. And I moved, and I started another version from Jabu Kanyile the late. I created a different groove completely, taking Bakanga, which is our old music, mixing it with some little bit modern feels, and sang serious like a Statamia person, which is almost like Black Mambazo. And I did a track called Sbalau Deli. It was a smash. Galo was like, what? And then a year later, there was a lot of people doing that, and guess it was called Afro Pop. Like, oh, is that that's what we did? That's what I did. So I pioneered that too. But I haven't been speaking about it for a long time because I didn't feel a need. But now I see everyone trying to say, I'm a king of this, I'm a queen of that. I'm saying, wait a minute.
Everybody hold up.
Break it down for me then. How did you come about? How did you do it? If you can tell me that, then you definitely did it. Because all I know is just to take a beat from there, and a beat from there, and a bass line from there, and words, and that's it. I'm saying, create it properly from the scratch for me. They couldn't do it. So I'm talking about it because I want people to know, mostly because our history is so distorted, not only in the music industry, but in life in general, you know, and I'm trying to straighten that up if possible, while I'm still here, as much as I celebrate our heroes while they are still alive. I hate it when people celebrate you when you're already late and gone. But this album talks about all of that. In the sound of it, the title of the songs, like Ngiltolile, talks about finding love, you know. I love love, you know. I love love. Like, you won't believe. And I found love for real in a long time. I was once married years ago, and I got divorced, and I thought to myself, never again. But lately, I really found love, and I'm not sure if I'll get married again, Kayla, but I found love. But yes.
I mean, this would be a great moment to propose. All right. We're going to play it in a sec. More with Jonina. We're speaking about the new album. It's called Time to Time. And so, I mean, what a beautiful title. The way that you've articulated the backstory there is incredible. More with Miss Danina, other side of this.
Nick Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
So, Joe, an incredible album. It's called Time to Time, and you gave such a beautiful backstory in terms of how you arrived at the title. What is it for you that is interesting about being a musician in 2018 versus 10 years ago, 15 years ago, just the business of music? What's yes. interesting about it now?
A lot has changed. Oh, just to add on what I was saying about the album itself, yeah. it took me 2 years all in all to put that together, huh. those 14 tracks. At the same time, I was learning as the music was changing. I mean, if you recall, I'm from the LP to the cassette, from the cassette to the CD. Now it's from the CD to the downloads, you know, streaming and all of that. For me, it was like, yo, how will I get there? So I had to learn and how to do it, what is iTunes and all of that, and what impact will it have on the industry itself, you know, especially when it comes to downloading for free. I wonder, how do you make money when you're being downloaded for free at all times, when you're supposed to be making money out of your royalties from the sales? But what I decided to do was that, because it has changed so much, and it's time that it must change. You know, like I said, there was Kwaito, there was Afropop, and then there was house, and now there's hip hop, and it's going to GOM very soon. You know, it's time, and it's okay to let time take its course. You know, so I had to just learn that part of business. That okay, now if I release my album, I'm gonna need it to go out as a CD, which is physical, because I still have people my age who love buying CDs and playing CDs and actually keeping them at their homes and show their friends I have a copy. And then I had to do also the digital side of things, to have it on your iTunes, your Google Play, your Spotify, you name it, and make sure that I can now go through with the young artists, I mean fans rather, because I want the young kids to also follow my music, because I believe there's so much to learn out of it. The reason why there's one ahead and there's one behind is because the one behind must learn from the one ahead. That's how I believe in things, and it must be done that way.
That's and beautiful, yeah.
Thank you. But what I it was difficult, man, especially when I had to have a Facebook account. That was that was a killer moment of my life, you know. And then they would ask me, you know, she would ask me, have you greeted your friends, like which friends, on Facebook? Why? Like, you must communicate almost on daily basis. I'm like, now, when do I get to work? So, but no, you just take 5 minutes while you're in the student post. Like, okay, all right, I'll do it. And then later on, I had to have an Instagram. And now, what must I do?
Now, I want to go into Instagram now to see what it is that you've been posting. And
yeah,
have a look.
Please check it out. You see, I try to make it as fun as possible, but it's very difficult. And then, okay, the only one that I'm still struggling with a little is the Twitter, but which is, they say it's the huge one. Yeah? Is that's a big one?
Twitter's like, it's also, I think it's difficult for people to figure out what to say on Twitter if they're not like massively political or they don't have huge opinions on stuff. Instagram is actually the fastest growing social platform in SA and actually in the world. But I'm looking at your Instagram now. It's really, really dope.
Yeah, you see, they said I'm a rock star, now I'm dope. We now have a swag.
No, it's cool. There's lots of different cool things on here.
Cool.
Are you taking lots of selfies?
I tried. I think I did two.
I'm looking at trying to find. I don't know if you're going to take it to that extent that you're going to be posting a selfie a day. Yeah. But look, this is good. You've got your breakfast in the morning. There's lots of different things on your Instagram. It's cool.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank yeah. you. I also posted, if I can recall, I hope I did, I wanted to post a calabash of Umkomboti, you know, our African beer.
I'm sure there might be one
in a glass or something like that. But if I didn't, I'm going to do it soon.
Okay.
So, well, while doing this, I also had to learn and adjust to that. And make sure that I understand what is going on now. But guess what? What my wish is still the same though. Like then is, whatever that is happening with the change, let it not take the actual wealth of the music itself. You know, let's not lose the reason why we had a thing called music in the first place.
Yeah.
Let's not commercialize it so much that it sounds like a paper now. You know, because now it's gonna lose its meaning. It's going to lose its value, and before you know it, all of us who are doing music are going to suffer, because now we've taken it for granted. Everyone wakes up in the morning, they've got a laptop, they do a beat, and they've got it, and they're making music out of it. it. That's okay. If you're lucky and it's a commercial enough song and it sells, okay. But please make sure you learn an instrument or something so that you know where you're going to go in case it changes, because time changes, like I said earlier on. In case the genre of music changes and it goes back to R&B and serious stuff and jazz, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and you answered that incredibly well, because a lot of people are like, what does music look like in 2018? And it seems like you're pretty adept to changing it up and growing and moving with it, which is really cool.
Sure.
We got to begin to kind of land this, and it's been so insightful speaking to you. So I want to spend just a little bit more time speaking about the album.
Sure.
And then just a little bit more time sort of trying to get more wisdom and insight from you, because 99% of the population want to be musicians. So we need to dish some hard truths here.
Cool.
So let's actually start with that before we land it and speak about the album one more time. Your sort of message to the average young South African who just really, like, they think that music is the thing for them. What do you really have to interrogate within yourself before deciding, this is what I want to do?
Well, first of all, if you are a musician, you should feel it inside of you, because I want to believe that that's how you know for sure that I am a singer or I am a piano player. You feel it within yourself. If you get lucky to get an opportunity to go into the studio and create a track for yourself, stay as original as possible. Because if you want to always take a portion of this from there, portion of this from there, it's the reason why music always gets to a point of monotony. And that is what's killing music as we speak. So stay as original as possible. Lastly, don't forget that music is about communicating message to the people out there. You know, there's situations in our lives that we are all going through, which we need to remind each other about every day. But we don't necessarily have to talk about last night in the club. not really, you know. If it has to be, it must be one song there or there or there. But it can be a tradition. You cannot everyone singing about last night was rocking. I was wearing my bling bling and I took her home. Come on, it's okay. It's nice. It's things that you can chat about as friends during the day and have fun. That's okay. But I believe, let's put back the value into it once again and sing about situations we're going through, the changes in our country, the racial issues that we had before, and it's more different now. You know, slowly but surely people are starting to live with each other. Well, there's still differences there and there. It will take time, but all about those things must be taken to note, and it's important that we sing about it and enjoy it and celebrate it and be proud of being South African. I mean, a lot of people don't want to be proud of being South Africans, you know. 90% of the people, they want to say I'm a South African, but they don't really want to be seen slaughtering drinking kombu tea. They don't want to be seen doing that. It's like, oh, this is so low. That too, as an artist, it's very important that you know, and once in a while you do, depending on, obviously, on what tribe you are. But more than anything, stay original, love your craft, and know that it's got to be within you, and be as committed as possible.
Such great words. And now let's land it with this. Time to time, what is the audio experience going to be when you hit play on track one, whether it's on Spotify or on the CD player? Because track one's still going to sound like track one. What is that experience and that journey you want to take people on?
Like I said, the first track is a duet between myself and the late Brave Piri. May his soul rest in peace. It's a song called Rain Down. So you can imagine when the title of a song says Rain Down. Rain down to wash away the pain, rain down to cleanse and make sure that everything looks better in our eyes once again, rain down so we can hear properly once again. So when you hear the song Rain Down, from the intro itself, when you open it there, okay, the intro sounds like a bit of a movie, and like scary a bit, but I listen to it, because I actually like music to talk for itself. Yeah. I believe it's very, very beautiful. Yeah. It's intimate, and at the same time, I gave it my all. I mixed it myself. I mastered it myself. So please listen to it and let it talk for itself. I'm more than happy to go on my Facebook or Instagram and tell me what you think once you've listened to it.
Fantastic. Sure. Well, the album is called Time to Time. And if we want to keep up with you on social media, how do we find you? What are the handles? This is going to be the hardest question, I think.
Yeah.
I can tell you what your Instagram is.
Thank you.
Joe Nina _time and then the number 2 time. And then on Facebook, I would imagine you just search
Jonina. Yes.
Yeah, and then Facebook, you should be able to find
that's it. That's it, yes.
But there's probably lots of fake accounts for you as well. Let's have a look here. Okay, cool. No,
there's actually two or three, because one is full. Two. The one is full, and the other one is the one that is moving on.
Awesome.
Inviting new people.
But, if you find Jonina and you just like the page, which I've just done over there, then you can keep up. So thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. This was different and cool. And I'm actually happy that I'm called a rock star. And guess what? I'm dope like that.
Yeah, you're dope and you're a rock star and you're all the things. And producer Palesa, throughout this interview, by the way, has just been sitting there thinking, like, what a legend.
Oh, thank you.
But a rock star, right? Producer
Palesa? You know, I have a fond memory of his songs where... on Christmas holidays with my cousins, they used to play those songs and had to dance for like 10 cents and 5 cents at that time. So I think each of his songs has memories for some of us.
Thank you.
He's a legend, truly.
So dope. Mr. Nina, thank you so much for your time.
Once again, I'm humbled and keep on listening and let's communicate on social media, man. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.